Good evening. As I would like us all to turn to 2 Timothy. And my desire this evening is to remind all of us what it is that we have held on to over the past 30 years and why the Lord is using us for His glory in the salvation of souls, the growth of our churches, and the multiplication of the church plant across Zambia. And I'm reminding us really that there is something that we have held on to. And my prayer as we go through this source together is that we will keep up the momentum and not lose sight of what the Lord has laid before us. Remember, we are in a portion of history distant from the beginning of the church. And what that does mean is that we will equally fade out. And therefore, we must pay attention to those who must take the gospel of Christ, which is what I will be talking about this evening, to the next generation. That is my desire. He has brought us this far by His grace. 30 years ago, yes. But there were some other conferences before that took place. Some of them in Kitwe. We called one of them the Reformed Forum. And all these were heading towards the beginning of the Reformed Family Conference. And what shall I say in your presence before the Lord? To Him alone be glory. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We begin to read at verse 10. You, however, the scripture says, know about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, my faith, my patience, love, endurance, persecution, suffering, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured, yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evildoers, impostors, will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed, and it is useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of His appearing and His kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their desires, they will gather around them great numbers of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to me. But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. Dear friends, a person who is truly born again and classifies himself or herself as reformed is that person who not only believes in the whole counsel of God, but also patterns his or her life after that counsel of God. That is a person who is born again. They are not going to be one thing in secret and another in public. No. What you are in secret, you must be in public, or the other way around. What you are in public, you must be in secret. The reason is simple, because this person is born again by an action of God, which means that God now dwells in them. And therefore God will be with them in public, also in private. And therefore I must be in public what I am in private. That is very, very important. And therefore, it is the business of all of us who are born again to make sure that our lives portray and project the Lord Jesus Christ at all times. I know of one man called Paul who fulfilled this call from the time he was captured by the Lord Jesus Christ to the time when he died. That's a man called Paul. And what does he say? For example, if you turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, he says many things, but one of them stands out. And he says, I have kept the faith. I have kept the faith. And for him, this particular faith had a specific message to the world. And the world was ignorant of that message. And it was his duty to make sure that the world knew about the specific message of that particular gospel. So, my dear friends, this is the burden that I do have before you. Before I go on to talk about the faith, let me briefly say something about what Paul did. What Paul did when he actually was captured by the Lord Jesus Christ. There are basically four things, that I want to bring before you by way of points. First, Paul discovered the faith. He discovered the faith. Of course, he had been a Pharisee for a long time, meaning that he was acquainted with the scriptures. Meaning that he knew the scriptures. But then, when the Lord transformed him, the scriptures equally transformed, were transformed. He began to read into the scriptures what he had never seen before. And that's why later on he goes out to preach this word vehemently, as we shall see in a moment. The second thing that happened is that he dedicated himself to this faith. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 3, he says, "When I was among you, I resolved to know nothing except Jesus Christ and him crucified." He, as it were, dedicated himself to this task. Thirdly, he delivered this faith. He delivered it to all and sundry. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 following, he says, "For I delivered to you as of first importance." There was a body, as we shall see, a body of divinity, which he delivered to them. And what happened? He says, "You were saved by this body of divinity. So I delivered it to you." And later on, as we shall see, he delivers it to the younger generation that they may take it up. And he says here, "I have kept the faith," as though to say, "Timothy, I have kept the faith. Take it to the next generation. I am being poured out as a libation. I am going, as it were, to glory." And this letter that we are looking at was his last letter before he was martyred. And fourthly, Paul defended the faith. He defended the faith. You remember at one time when a group of Christians led by one called the Apostle Peter, who went to this Gentile area and they enjoyed fellowship with everybody else until the circumcision party came. And Peter led most of them astray, even Barnabas. Galatians chapter 2, verse 11 following. And he defended the efficacy of the gospel. Even when the prominent people of the faith wilted away under fear. But he defended the gospel. Well then, before I come to that, let me see if I can talk about the faith. "Pass me not, O gracious Savior, hear my humble cry. Pass me by, Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. Why, O Nazareth, your mood is What then is the faith that dominated the life of the Apostle Paul? What then is the faith that has dominated the Reformed fraternity in the country called Zambia? What then is it that we have preached over the past 30 years, which God has used for His own glory? What is it? And as I said in my introduction, let's hold on to this faith, not to deviate from it. Hold on to it. Pray thee. Not shy away from it. As we shall see, there will be others who depart from it and wander into me. Not for you. Hold on to this faith. What is this faith? In summary, Paul calls it a number of things. He calls it the things you have heard me speak before many witnesses. The things you have heard me speak before many witnesses. He's saying, Timothy, you have been with me all over, and you have heard me say things. You have heard me preach these things. The things that you have heard me before many witnesses, this is the faith. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. What you have heard from me, entrust. Right? Entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. This is the faith. And then elsewhere in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, we are told, by common confession, great is the mystery of our confession. Great is the mystery of our religion. That is, and then it is clearly indicated there what the Apostle Paul was talking about. He was talking about the incarnation and how the Lord Jesus Christ came from heaven to our world, became like me. Something that should puzzle all of us. Something that I've been grappling with for the past 50 years of my being a Christian. I have grappled with that, and I'm still grappling with it. Did God have to become man? Did He have to become like me? And I am asking these questions over the years because we are talking about the God of all creation. We are talking about the God who has brought about the universe, which is infinite. And when I'm talking about the universe being infinite, I'm talking about trillions upon trillions of galaxies, and we are in a small galaxy called the Milky Way, which has millions of stars. And our star is one of the smallest, the sun. So, just imagine, just imagine, how small am I? You get the point, eh? How small am I that this great God who brought about this infinite universe should become like I am? I am still grappling with that. He's talking about the incarnation. He's talking about how he came here on earth, how he was preached across the nations, and how even I, in 1969 in August, the Lord showed me the cross of Christ. And I cried out, Lord, save me. You mean over these years I've not been a Christian, Lord? Then save me, please. And he's crying 50 years ago this month. I've been grappling with this idea of God becoming man. And I tell you, if you cannot wonder at that, then perhaps you are not born again. Great indeed is the mystery of our confession. Again, the Apostle Paul talks to Timothy and says, you know all about my teaching. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 10, you know. And then later on in chapter 4 verse 2, he says, I charge you in the presence of God, in the presence of Christ and his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge, preach the word. Elsewhere, he calls it the whole counsel of God. The Apostle Paul, for 3 years in Ephesus, he labored among the church. And he says, I did not turn away from bringing to you the full counsel of God. That, he says, I brought to you, and I will say again, the Reformed Fraternity in Zambia has done that over the past 30 years, and I am not ashamed to confess that. I'm not ashamed. The full counsel of God. In a word, my dear friends, what I've been saying so far is simply this. Scripture alone. The Reformer said, sola scriptura. Scripture alone. Why did they say that? Very simple. The church from which they broke away had so many intermediaries. There were so many authority structures. To a point where what they said was equal to what the scripture says. No! It has to be scripture alone. So what are we talking about? When we talk about the thing, it's the body of divinity enshrined in this book. Well then, what is the theme of the faith? Just turn to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. The Lord Jesus Christ here is talking to the Pharisees, the Jewish leaders. And he says in verse 39, you study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. And then he says, these are the very scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. What is the central theme of the faith? Here he is. Are you reading the scriptures? Are you studying the scriptures? Are you looking at it strictly and
And seriously, what should you see? You are supposed to see the Lord Jesus Christ. If you can see anything else apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, then you are not born again. I will repeat that you are not born again. The scriptures speak of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the central theme. And that is why later on the Apostle Paul says, Jews demand miraculous signs, and Greeks are looking for wisdom. And then he says, but we preach Christ and Him crucified. And he adds, Christ, the wisdom of God. And he adds, Christ, the power of God. And the word translated power there can also be translated miracle. Why? Because Jews demanded miracles. And Paul is saying, oh, you mean you haven't seen the miracle? The miracle of miracles? You haven't seen Christ. He is the miracle of God. And I was already talking about the incarnation here. What greater miracle are you looking for? Isn't the greatest miracle that God became man? Christ, the miracle of God. Are you Greeks looking for wisdom? Do you want to satisfy your intellect, as it were? Well, here is the wisdom of God, Christ. Oh, my dear friends, we have only one Christ, and that's Him alone. And then, what is the target of the theme? Or the target of the faith? What is the target of the faith? May I just sum it up in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15? The Apostle Paul says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And over the past 30 years, we have preached Christ. Christ as the Savior of mankind. And there are many of you here who were not there in 1990 when we had our first Reformed Conference at David Cowunda Secondary Technical School. And some of you have been born again along the way. Why? Because we have preached to you that Jesus Christ came to save sinners. And sinners of every shade. We're not just talking about religious sinners like Alfred Nyirenda. I have boasted over the years that I was not one of those who can boast about being a wretched man, being a terrible boy, being one who was always at loggerheads with everyone. I was simply a sweet boy. But sweetly sinful. Sinners of every shade. We have murderers. One of them is the one who has been writing this called Paul. A murderer. Breathing terrible things about the church. Arresting, putting in prison, killing. Until he was arrested. And upon his arrest, what does he say? Who are you, Lord?
the transformation that showed him the one who saves sinners, even like him.
And he calls himself the chief of sinners. He calls himself the worst of all sinners.
Prostitutes. And in our day we can talk about even those that tattoo themselves. Have you seen a lot of people with tattoos all over the body? Can a tattooed person hear the gospel of Christ and be born again? The answer is yes. And if he is born again, if she is born again, can she be in our midst? Yes, she can be part of our church membership. So what is our problem? Did the Lord Jesus Christ select those? He must, as he was saying, not this type, I will not, you don't call. Preach the gospel to every creation, the scripture tells us. And the Reformed fraternity, I will say again proudly, may the Lord forgive my pride. We have tried to do that over the past 30 years. For me, I know that I came across the doctrines of grace in 1972, when I was at the University of Zambia. A man called Michael Eaton introduced to us the Banner of Truth work. And unfortunately, just dedicated yourself to reading these books, the history of the church, all kinds of things, instead of working on mathematics. Anyway, at least I scraped through, I got a mere pass. But the point I'm making is that I could have got a distinction had I, well, thank God he... But the point I'm making is that God saves whoever hears the gospel and cries out to him for salvation. So this is the target of the faith. In a word, we are talking about Christ alone. Solus Christus. Christ alone. During the Reformation, the reformers refused that there were these others who can say. It's only Christ. And the salvation of souls. And may I add that at the turn of a sinner, there are two major things that are applied to the sinner. Faith, you have been saved through faith. Through faith. Faith alone. Sola fide. Faith alone. By grace are you saved. Through faith. There is the second one. By grace. And all these things flowing freely from the God we had offended. Why should God be gracious to us? Why should he even give us faith to believe? Well, the scripture says he has lavished his love upon us.
Why did he love me? I don't know. All I know is that I'm a new creation. That's all. No more in condemnation. That's all. That's all I know. Don't ask me. Did I hear the gospel of Christ? Yes, I did. And it hit me hard. When it hit me hard, it showed me that I was an ugly person, fit for hell. And then, in the midst of all that, he lavished his grace. You are able to see that there is one who has died for you and paid the penalty for you. Yeah. My dear friends, there are times when you wonder, why? But I do know that he has so loved me that I am his. He is mine. Sola gratia. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 14, the Apostle Paul says, "The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus." It was not by works. When I was an SDA, 67 to 69, I really worked hard to be free from the wrath of God. And it didn't work. Because when eventually he showed me the gospel, I knew. Even if I tried to keep the law later on the so-called Saturday, I would not make it. By grace alone. Through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So then let me quickly go back to those four points. I have dealt with this faith. And the Apostle Paul kept that faith. At the end of his life, he says, "I have kept the faith." Timothy, have you seen it? Have I deviated from it? Have I diluted it? Have I added a few things as it were to make it attractive, to make it appeal to the people? No, I haven't. I've kept the faith. Timothy, keep the faith. Take it on to the next generation. The Reformed Fraternity in Zambia are equally being told, keep it. Don't dilute it. Don't depart from it for any reason at all. Preach the word. Well then, the Apostle Paul, the question is, as it, how did the Apostle Paul keep the faith? Well, first, as I said, he discovered it. And at least, again, it would be in summary form. He discovered it. And Galatians chapter 1, verse 16 tells us that it pleased God to reveal his Son in me. That's what being a Christian is all about. It's not about what we glibly say, "I accepted Jesus as my personal Savior." Christ revealed in me. What's the definition of a Christian? Someone in whom Christ dwells. So that on the last day, He or she will not say, Lord, you know, I was part of the Reformed Conference at the 30th anniversary. You know, I mean, have you forgotten? I was part of it. And I used to go to church. I even cast out demons in your name. Remember? In your name, I cast out demons. In your name, I did many mighty works. But do you know what Jesus Christ will say to them? I never knew you. A Christian is someone who is known by Jesus Christ now. And he will not need to say, Lord, you know, He will just say, because he will see himself in you. You see, the Apostle Paul says, it pleased God to reveal his Son in me. What happened to Paul? He became Christ-like. At every stage, he was Christ-like. That's why he couldn't but preach Christ crucified. Everything just pointed to Christ. And there was even one time when the Apostle Paul says, I want to know Christ. Who else knows Christ more than you? But he says, I want to know Christ. He was so Christ-like that he wanted more and more of him, as it were. Is that your cry as you sit there? Is Christ so critical in your life that he dominates your thought system, your actions, your words, your everything? Is that true? Well, that's what we have been preaching over the past 30 years. He discovered it. He dedicated himself to it. He resolved to know nothing else. And he delivered the same to all and sundry. And he was not even ashamed of the gospel. No. He was not ashamed. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for the salvation of all those that believe. It is the power of God. It's the miracle of God. Christ alone. So there you are there. If you can sing from the depths of your heart, from your inner being, and say, in Christ alone, then the Reformed Fraternity in Zambia has not labored in vain over the past 30 years. And it is this gospel that transforms. Everything else will not do. Well, let me end by asking a very important question. Why preach the faith? Why preach the faith? Well, the Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 4, after he says, preach the word, be urgent in season and out of season. He says, because the time is coming when men will depart from the truth. That's a very sad thing. The time is coming when they will depart from the truth. I feel sad about that. In other words, why will they depart from the truth? Because they will dislike it. I have come across people who say, why do you always talk about doctrine, doctrine? No. Why do you talk about sound doctrine, sound doctrine, sound doctrine all the time? Sound doctrine, aren't you fed up? But why don't they like it? For me, sound doctrine seems means that this is the best thing that God has ever offered to us. A body of teaching which we must cherish.
I have said this and I will repeat it today. There was a time when we visited a cousin of ours called Doreen Kawonga. Then we went to her room with Andrew Muowo, and she said, we are being warned against you. Said, why? Yeah, we are being warned. Said, why are you being warned against us that you will teach us sound doctrine? I tell you.
But Doreen, won't you delight in the fact that we teach you sound doctrine? Again, ignorance. Because those who are not born again, I will tell you, they will not be serious with this book. No! They will dislike anything that speaks against sin. They will dislike anything in this book that tells them, don't do that, don't do that, do this all the time. Oh, my dear friends, and then there is also the desire for influence. Just turn to 2 Peter. Chapter 2. Listen to this. But there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. And here's what they will do. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord. In other words, they have nothing to do with the sovereignty of God. And then he says, in verse 2, many will follow their depraved conduct and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. But listen to this. In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with fabricated stories. They will exploit you. What will they do? I've come across some who sell prayers. The more you pay, the greater the prayer. No, my dear friends, we are not of those who depart and are destroyed. As the faith, I don't know whether I can say with Paul, my time has come to depart. I don't know. I may not be here the 40th anniversary, the 50th anniversary, but of course he is in charge. He knows. But even if he calls me tomorrow or tonight, I will say again,
our reformed fraternity in Zambia, I'm repeating myself here, never ever depart from the faith. Preach it. And make sure that our younger generation holds on to it and carries it to future generations. May the Lord of glory himself continue to help us not only to maintain this revival that God has offered us over the past 30 years. I'll tell you something. We will certainly, you will certainly, maybe 30 years from now, you will look back and see that actually this was the time of revival. Let us pray. Our Father who art in heaven, look at the lot of people in this auditorium. All of them silent before you, aware of who you are, and aware who they are. But we thank you for the ministry of your word. And our prayer, each one of us, is that you will help us to treasure these things, that we may not depart from the faith, but so dedicate ourselves to it, as to make sure that every sinner hears the gospel of Christ and is born again. Make sure that this faith will be preached for generations to come. Preserve it and preserve the remnant for the next years. Hear this prayer because it is brought before you in the name of Him who is the central theme of the faith, even your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, with whom we are well pleased. Amen.